What a difference a country make. It is raining here in Chicago, and Deb Pierce is sunburned in Toronto. That's right. She's back in Toronto after spending time here with us for the Windy City Gay Idol 2009, where we crowned a new winner. Were you there? Were you there in the middle of all the excitement? Probably drinking some nice libations. If you were, you were with me and Deb, and we dotted all over this city of Chicago this weekend. Where did Deb stay? Truly the best hotel she's ever stayed in. And what's going on in the news, the theater scene? We are smack dab in the middle of Gay Pride, and we are proud to bring this show to you.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 310. I'm Amy Matheny.
Are you ever? And I'm Deb Pierce.
Yes, you are. But you're back in Toronto.
Boy, am I ever.
What happened? We were supposed to be talking on the couch. You know what happened?
I know.
I had no voice.
You didn't have a voice, so we thought we'd save it for a day or two afterwards, but I'm still reeling from Gay Idol.
I had 2 days of no voce.
No dolce voce vida. No,
yeah.
You didn't. But that's hot. Kelly must love that.
No. Of course, she's totally turned on by my ramblings on and my nonstop chatter. That's sexy, right?
Yes, it is. So. Now that we've met each other's partners, we can both understand that they both deserve an award. Let's just be honest about
that. I know. I am just busting with anticipation for this show, and I'm sorry that it's taken us so long to get it out. Seriously, I didn't have much of a voice at all, and it was such a jam-packed couple of days that Deb is now back in Toronto, and the Windy City Gay Idol is in her rearview mirror of Pride experiences now.
Oh, my God. I am a veteran. I'm a seasoned veteran now. That's my second one, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and tell me what you thought. We were Saturday. We crowned a new Windy City Gay Idol. Amy Kelly, who was representing SoFo, is the new Windy City Gay Idol. And, man, there were over 600 people at Sidetrack on Saturday afternoon with the pending rain, which kind of came down and went and came down and went. And just so many people. Just a big thank you to Miller Lite and Sky Vodka. What a great.
Oh, my God. Those Sky Vodka pineapple bits of heaven and ice that you turned me on to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
I was just looking like a big old pineapple.
You were. That was a gorgeous, bold choice, to be honest, Amy. I'm sure the pictures are up on the podcast. But you wore a very yellow dress. Yes, you did.
Very, very yellow.
I thought we would be speaking in code. The yellow bird sings on Fridays, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But it was great. You looked gorgeous, and the pictures prove it. And it's not.
Thank you. You were very sassy trade in your leather tie.
Thank you. I was trying to be a little studly. You know, it's a new audience. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new group of people. I might as well work it a little. Why not?
I know. You know, the sad thing is that we were there for all the contestants. Yeah. And then I want to talk more about some of the highlights of the competition, but you and me, your girlfriend came into town.
Yep.
And that was fantastic because I've never met her. And we had Cynthia, or if you all know her as Sin in the By the Way. And we just had not had enough of the karaoke and singing experience. So after going to eat at Las Manitas, we ended up heading to Jackhammer. And it was a room full of bears, television screens full of gangbangs. And Deb and I singing some karaoke until the wee hours of the morning.
I know, it was really good. You have quite a voice and a bold choice. But you know what? This is the day of I'm going to say bold choice. You made a beautiful choice to do a Eurythmics song, or was it Annie Lennox? It was
Annie Lennox.
Was it Annie?
It was.
And I did Bonnie Raitt. And yep. I'll tell you what, you got picked up by a big old daddy bear, and I had people dancing to my Bonnie Raitt version of Something yep. to Talk About. So go figure. Yep.
Big old Harley riding daddy bear came over to me and was like, come on, and gave me his hand. And I looked at him and I said, I don't really follow. He goes, you lead? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, then lead. So he let me lead for a while. He followed quite well.
And then
you and I were dancing during somebody singing.
I didn't even know what you were doing, but you needed an award for that country move where you go down, you look like you're about to do the Russian dance.
We were dancing too. I got friends in low places
where the whiskey drowns.
You just have to go down on the low places. It was hilarious. And I was like, why are there so many bears here? And your girlfriend, who never comes out to these kind of gay events.
Ever.
She loves sitting in the country and, you know, just tolerates the fact that you're the most popular lesbian in Toronto.
Yeah.
And she was like, I said, there's so many bears here. And she looked at me and went, well, it's karaoke. Like, duh, Amy, it's karaoke. I had no idea.
I know. It was so great. And you have so, I'll tell you, that city has the most wonderful people. I mean, besides the fact that this is an event that you could not get anyone in Canada out to at that time of day in that kind of venue, because frankly, we just don't have a sidetrack. We don't have anything that exceptional, not in Toronto anyway. But I don't think you could get that many people out supporting their, you know, even if their friends were in it. You just, people come out in droves for a great event, and it's indicative of who the people are in your city, because people are just generally friendly and exceptional. And I thought that was reserved for Canadians, but I tell you, I will extend it to you Chicagoans.
Chicagoans.
What?
Chicagoans.
Yeah, that.
Well, so you don't think that Toronto people and Chicago people are similar?
I do. I just think it's a different capacity. Maybe I'm just visiting. You know, I'm not seeing people in their workplace environments under fluorescent lighting and business suits. I'm seeing people in bars enjoying their friends and that kind of thing. So, I mean, it could be that too, but even the hotel that I stayed at, just the people just seem to genuinely really love their city, really want to boast about their city, really want to share with you where they think you should go in their city. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that a lot of Torontonians would be as forthright.
Yeah.
I really don't think so.
Well, and how many different clubs we hit while you were just here?
Oh, like, God, we don't even have that. I mean, we, you know, just the fact that you can say clubs with a plural, and it's not just indicative of a bear bar, a lesbian bar, a gay man's bar. Because, of course, we've got the infamous Woody's from Queer as Folk. But it's, you know, it's just different. It's just different. If you like bars, you guys definitely have a different bar and a different flavor for every segment of this community, for sure.
Well, you know, and I always thought, you bring up a good point, I always thought that I never understood why they did not, once Queer as Folk, you know, was a British show. And then concept was bought and sold into Showtime, and then it became an American show. And I was so shocked that they set that show in Pittsburgh and not in Chicago. Like, the British show had been like a working town, you know, kind of blue-collar working town, and they decided to pick Pittsburgh and not the city of big shoulders, Chicago, that actually has a gay street where...
Right.
You can go to 10 different bars in a 3-block radius.
Right. And you can do that on Church Street as well, obviously. But it's just, different.
Right, but it was supposed to be set in America. I'm not talking about the fact that, well, they should have filmed it in Chicago. I know that it's good for you guys. They filmed
maybe
it in Toronto.
Maybe you guys are busier than Church Street. Maybe they couldn't actually have done it on Halsted.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they could have.
Well, you better start writing a screenplay, Nathini. You better get on that.
On that. I was PO'd. I want to know if any of the rest of you ever thought that Queer as Folk should have been filmed in Chicago, because I really think it should have been.
We'll call it the Q word. We'll just do a combination of Queer as Folk and the L word.
There you go, the Q word. That's good.
That is good.
Start writing that. Copyright that. I don't want either of their sloppy seconds. We need a whole new thing for the next gay series.
You make a good point.
Totally, totally, totally. So you arrived here, and I guess because no one listening to this Queercast has probably stayed there, because how in the world could we? How could we afford it? You stayed at the Peninsula Hotel, the number one hotel in the world, ranked number one in the world, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal, Amy.
Yeah. How was that experience?
The best hotel experience of my life from
really?
The moment I set foot through the doors. And, you know, the standard hospitality greeting is one thing. But then you look around past the Aston Martin and the Bentleys, and you know you're in for a different experience. And you go through one area, which has elevators, that goes to another area, which is the official entrance to the lobby. And I was literally greeted by and given a personal tour to our room and everything, because it's very electronically advanced, given a brief overview of how to work my room, which was all automated. Because otherwise I would have had the heat on in 85-degree weather or the blinds, you know, open at night or whatever. So she helped me to look at all that. Then I looked down, and on our pillows were Deb embroidered in gold. Deb and Leanne on our pillows. On our pillows!
Embroidered?
Embroidered.
You need to send us a picture of that.
I have pictures, but it begs the question, should I have kept them? Like, are they waiting for Deb and Leanne?
Did they not tell you when you were learning how to flush the toilet with the remote control?
It was the best shower also of my life.
Did you have a bidet?
No, I didn't. I had a great day. No. no, we didn't, which is just as well, because those are just water fountains for vertically challenged people.
Oh, they? Those are fun. Come on.
Oh, God. I don't
Lesbian
even want
to doesn't
talk
love
about
a bidet.
No bidet. No!
I just made you go mute.
Yeah, that's weird for me. I don't even want to talk about it. I can't talk about it. We've never talked about this kind of stuff. I'm not going to start now.
What gangland doesn't like a bidet? Come on. If Oprah can talk about a bidet, you and I can talk about a bidet.
Okay. Are we done, though, talking about the bidet?
Okay. This is when I need Mitchell back, so we can talk about poop and farts and stuff.
Okay,
it makes me
then
giggle.
That's who you can do that with. Everyone needs a pooping, farting friend, and that's not going to be me. Okay.
All right, we'll move on. You had embroidered sheets. They'll never invite me to the peninsula. Yeah. They'll never invite me to the peninsula. All right, so you had embroidered sheets.
A whole AV system that you could plug anything in from a laptop to an iPod and back again. Just ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I heard they have one of the most extraordinary swimming pools in the city. And I felt like
I was in Greece.
I have been, I really want to try to just infiltrate it on a cold winter day sometime.
Okay. Well, I happen to be in good standing with Gregory Hyder from the Peninsula. Thank you very much, Gregory. And I'm sure he'd let you dip your toes in at the very least. You wanted to do the podcast from there. I'm like, really? It's 108 degrees. No.
We haven't even hit summer yet, Deb. Come on.
Well, I have just come off of lying by a pool all day. I am sunburned. I have what I like to affectionately call the shivs. And once I've had a sufficient amount of sun, and then I go beyond that, I get the shivers, which means I'm going to have a really nice tan, but I've got to put up with the shivers first.
Do you like laying out in the sun?
I don't hate it. I was by the pool. I was playing with my niece, so it was kind of fun. I can't really sit, but I was, you know, doing synchronized swimming and that sort of thing to keep myself occupied and consequently have a great sunburn. Yay, shivers.
Wait a minute. You were synchronized swimming. You mentioned this while you were here. I don't even believe that you were a synchronized swimmer.
I was a competitive synchronized swimmer.
No.
For many years.
Do you have the nose clips?
I don't anymore.
But you did?
Of course. How
is
else
that,
am I going
to How do you learn to use those? Because you can't blow out your nose, right?
No. You just hold, and if you need to let any out, it comes out your mouth. But that's because you're doing inverted flips and stuff all over the place. And you can't do that without nose clips. You can't blow the air out of your nose to keep the water from going up if you're going to stay under for a minute. You need to keep some in. Oh, my God, I should have taught you how to synchronize swim in the pool while I was there.
This is our next podcast. This might actually be our film. This might be our series.
Oh, my God.
Lesbian synchronized swimming
the
talk
word.
Show hosts.
Set in a pool with a, we need a hot, mandatory hot lifeguard.
Yeah. Set at the Peninsula Hotel. Do you think Gregory would let us film our television series there?
I think he's probably laughing listening to this right now, and the answer is probably yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who would not want us to do that? That's just a fabulous idea.
Right?
There would have to be much shaving involved. But
yeah. Listen, I took 47 minutes last night knowing I was going to a pool today, believe me.
47 minutes.
No, well, it's been a long winter. It didn't actually take that long. It didn't actually take that long. But I'll tell you, I forgot I was that flexible.
Oh, it's Bananarama meant a whole different thing by a cruel, cruel summer, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the original, that's the initial weed whacker that needs to come out.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my gosh, folks. There is so much news. We're going to come back and give you a play-by-play of much of the Windy City Gay Idol competition. This is a whole show with Deb and I from Toronto talking about Gay Idol and also just about our trip and our time together. And maybe you bumped into us along the road. We actually saw so many people out and about. But we're going to do some news and tell you what's going on in the theater scene. We'll be back with Deb Pierce.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. President Obama has named Kevin Jennings, the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, as Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education. Jennings is in charge of overseeing the Safe Schools program, but a coalition of Christian organizations has launched an effort to have Jennings removed.
Harvard University will endow a visiting professorship in GLBT studies, a position many believe is the first of its kind at a U.S. college. The Harvard Gay and Lesbian Caucus made the position available through a $1.5 million gift. Their chair is named for F.O. Matheson, a Harvard scholar and literary critic who, quote, stands out as an unusual example of a gay man who lived his sexuality as an open secret in the mid-20th century.
The U.S. State Department has officially condemned anti-gay violence in Iraq, saying that the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad has raised and will continue to raise the issue with senior officials from the government of Iraq, and has urged them to respond appropriately to all credible reports of violence against gay and lesbian Iraqis.
The City of Miami Commission voted unanimously to adopt a domestic partnership ordinance. The city will now extend the same health benefits to the domestic partners and children of city employees that heterosexual employees receive.
Carrie Prejean, who made news with her views on same-sex marriage during the Miss USA pageant, is no longer Miss California. The pageant's executive director said, "This was a decision based solely on contract violations, including Ms. Prejean's unwillingness to make appearances on the behalf of the Miss California USA organization."
In Maryland, a lesbian couple was found dead in their Baltimore home. One neighbor said that a front window was open and another window may have been forced open, which would indicate foul play. The couple recently wed in Boston.
A controversial study from Emory University has established a link between same-sex marriage bans and HIV rates. Using economic theories, the study estimated that a constitutional ban on gay marriage raises a state's HIV rate by 4 cases per 100,000 people. The study reads, "Social acceptance of gays may consequently induce gay men to interact in open and socially mediated venues associated with less risky sexual behaviors."
In California, Mount Woodson Elementary School officials have apologized to sixth grader Natalie Jones for censoring her project about the late gay activist Harvey Milk. And school administrators have promised they will not restrict similar free speech in the future.
In Colorado, former gay porn actor Timothy John Boham has been found guilty of first-degree murder, first-degree felony murder, and aggravated robbery in the death of John Paul Kelso. Boham was accused of shooting Kelso in a robbery attempt gone awry. He faces life in prison.
In Massachusetts, several religious groups convened to support rights for trans individuals. The event, entitled An Act of Faith, was held at the Edwards Church in Northampton and was organized by the Interfaith Coalition for Transgender Equality, among others.
A swimming pool facility denied a lesbian couple a family pass in Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, saying that parents must be legally obligated to the children or be married to get the discount. The ACLU in Boise has said the state of Idaho defines marriage as being between a man and a woman, but it has no set definition of a family.
Thomas Beatty, known as the Pregnant Man, has given birth to a second child. Beatty, a trans man, gave birth to a son June 9th. He and his wife already have a daughter. Beatty had his gender altered surgically, but opted to retain the female reproductive organs.
In California, Rob Williams and Arnie States, co-hosts of Sacramento's Rob, Arnie, and Dawn show, have apologized on air for making critical remarks about trans teenagers. When State said he would probably hit his son with one of his shoes if the boy wore high heels, 11 companies, including McDonald's, Verizon, and Snapple, pulled their ads from the program. Incidentally, Dawn Rossi, the third co-host, defended the teens during the program.
And Chicago will host the biggest gay deaf gala of the year, the Rainbow Alliance of the Deaf, June 30th through the 4th of July at the Sheraton Hotel and Towers. More than 500 people will attend.
In world news, Australian competitive football will get its first trans player this season. A 25-year-old trans man, only known as Will, approached league officials to see if he could participate. He was told just to legally alter the gender on his birth certificate to male.
Six of the eight men who were part of a Scottish pedophile ring have received jail sentences ranging from 2 to 17 years. One offender, James Rennie, the former head of the agency GLBT Youth Scotland, abused one child for over a four-year period.
In the United Kingdom, a chef who killed his gay lover and ate his flesh was not successful in his attempt to get his jail sentence reduced. Anthony Francis Morley was convicted in the murder of Damien Oldfield and received a minimum term of 30 years. Morley claimed the sentence was too long for what he did.
U.S. Census information reveals that a third of Ireland's same-sex couples live in the U.S. About 1,200 Irish-born gay men and lesbians live with a same-sex partner in the United States, and more than 500 Irish-born gay and lesbian partners would probably return to Ireland to take advantage of an upcoming civil partnership measure.
And in entertainment news, American Idol judge Simon Cowell is planning a remake of the 1977 movie Saturday Night Fever, with hip-hop producer Timbaland helming the soundtrack. Zac Efron is reportedly one of the actors being considered for the lead role, originally played by John Travolta.
Lesbian-led indie punk dance group La Tigra is working with Christina Aguilera on her new fall album. Other collaborators on the album include singer-producer Linda Perry and Axe Goldfrapp and Ladytron.
Cyndi Lauper has launched the True Colors Fund Summer Online Auction, which supports the LGBTA community. Auction items include lunch and a tarot card reading by Lauper, tickets and a meet and greet to a Lady Gaga concert, and handwritten lyrics by Michael Stipe, Jason Mraz, and the Indigo Girls. See charitybuzz.com. The auction ends June 25th.
And Chastity Bono, the daughter of entertainer GLBT icon Cher and the late Sonny Bono, has announced plans to undergo gender reassignment surgery and become a man. Her publicist confirmed the news, saying, "Yes, it's true. Chaz, after many years of consideration, has made the courageous decision to honor his true identity."
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Right now, for a limited time, you can see a sensational phenomenon for a sensational price.
Jersey Boys. It's the Boys of Summer Sale. Buy in the next 2 weeks, and you can see this blockbuster mega hit for only $54 all weeknights and $66 all weekends. That's up to 40% off main floor seats to one of the biggest hits ever to come to Chicago.
I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right,
but you can only save on the show the Tribune calls the most exciting musical in years if you buy before June 26th. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Boys of Summer Sale. 2 weeks to get tickets to the Tony Award-winning Jersey Boys for as little as $54 for performances now through August.
Oh, what a night.
Don't miss your chance to save on Jersey Boys this summer with the Boys of Summer Sale. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com and use the code SUMMER.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 15th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents A Minister's Wife, starring Kate Fry and Alan Schmuckler. Michael Halberstam directs this world premiere musical adapted from Shaw's Canada by Austin Pendleton and with lyrics by Jane Trannan and music by Josh Schmidt, the award-winning composer of The Adding Machine. Sharp, witty, and tender, A Minister's Wife explores the fires burning beneath the surface of an ordinary marriage. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Lifeline Theater presents Busman's Honeymoon, the final chapter in the Dorothy L. Sayers mystery series, featuring Lord Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane. This Jeff-recommended production has been extended 5 extra weeks to July 26th. For tickets to Busman's Honeymoon, visit lifelinetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
So, Deb.
So, Amy.
Who were some of the standout singers for you at Windy City Gay Idol?
I have to say for talent and just all around being a great musician, because he actually could play, was the pianist and the guitarist. I believe the guitarist's name is Steven.
Yes.
It? Yeah, he was exceptional and a sweet guy. And what I really liked is that he does what I do when I sing. And it's never actually come down my face, but I get teary. I get a tear in one eye for whatever reason, depending on who I'm singing for, with, and about.
No, that was Todd.
That was endearing.
Todd had the tear.
Okay.
Our landslide. He always has a little tear, and it's very sweet.
It's really sweet. In fact, you said that when we were standing next to him.
Yep. Now, Michael is the contestant that played the keyboard and really for the first time ever in Idol history, you know, started out on the keyboard doing the beginning of Closer by Neo, and then kind of came out from around the keyboard after playing just him and the keyboard, and then the
track hit
and then it was like, the club version of Neo's Closer.
Oh, yeah, and that's the mix we play on Proud FM, so I knew the beginning of it, but I also knew that sort of, and I just, like, the real, like, the sped-up version of it, and he did a bang-up job. What a sweet guy he is, too.
Yeah.
What a really nice guy. I thought the right person won, the right people moved on, and, people that tried out for it, there are no losers. It's good for you for even, you know, coming out in the first place. What a great thing for your community to do to gain spirit. What a great event.
Yeah, and we had some, our top three ended up being Brad, who was our little, speaking of Barioki, our little grizzly bear with
his full beard. He was so cute.
Brad was so super cute, and on his final round sang Love Will Keep Us Together. Captain and Tennille.
Yeah, like who does that but somebody at Gay Idol?
I used to love the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, well, get in line. I mean, between that wedge cut and his hat.
And her pantsuits, like her jumpsuits.
The jumpsuits were reminiscent of something your mother would wear, but something you wouldn't want your mother to wear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the visual was kind of like, you kind of have the same hair as my mom, except you're hot and you're singing.
Yeah, I kind of love the jumpsuit, though, I got to tell you. Just something about Elvis and Tennille and Cher. Some really cool people have worn jumpsuits.
I know, that's a true story. Have you ever sported a jumpsuit, Amy?
Oh, I have.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah.
On purpose?
No.
Oh.
Usually it was like for some sort of dress-up parody day in high school or something. I would pull out some of the old 1960s jumpsuits that my mom had.
Wow, that is a bold choice. I think they're trying to bring them back. And then when I watched that, when I watched Swingtown, I think you turned us on to Swingtown, I noticed a lot of pantsuits and thought, oh, God, if that ever comes back into style, I won't be able to eat for 3 months just to actually wear it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's entirely true. We also had the lovely Marla as our runner-up. She's
I remember her from last year, Amy. She was just as sweet and just as talented and just as captivating as she was last year and went really far this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
She has made it so close and yet not the whole cigar the past 2 years. So
sometimes you're supposed to learn from certain things. Sometimes, I don't know what it is, but her spirit doesn't seem shaken. She's still got a good smile on her face, and I'll tell you what, she walked away with some good swag, I'll tell you that.
Didn't they win some great prizes? I was like, you and I were doing some stellar Barioki, and nobody brought us a prize.
Nothing. No coolers with an iPod stereo in it. Nothing.
Yep.
Except for that.
Yep.
I know.
I really wanted that iPod Touch. I know your girlfriend wants an iPod phone, but...
My God, if I hear, have you got me my iPhone one more time?
Yep.
If anybody from Apple's listening, please, if you send me an iPhone, I wouldn't say no, and I thank you every day for the rest of my life.
They're not that expensive. Just go buy her one.
I know, but she's not. We only have one carrier, and she's not with that carrier, so we have to switch things around.
Oh, she needs to wait. 2010.
I know.
All changes.
I know, that's true. Even for us, I hope.
I hope so. So we had some amazing guest performers, Jason Antone, launching his new CD that week, which is amazing. God, he's got the prettiest eyes.
And he has a history with Gay Idol, he mentioned. I couldn't hear it too well because I was in the back getting the ballots for Toronto Tourism, but had he tried out?
He said, that's what I thought he said, that he had tried out in the first year, so 7 years ago.
Well, look at you. Look what you can achieve. Lady Gaga was there this time last year.
She wasn't a contestant, though.
No, but what a difference a year can make.
Yeah, it is true. And then the fantastic Suzanne Palmer, who that woman can just get me jumping. That voice is just church to me. Like gay church. Do you know what I mean by that?
That's true. I'm hearing it now. Yes.
Yep. It's like that big old dance diva. Love it.
I know. It's so exciting. Yeah, it was a great night. It was a great night. It was a great day. I shouldn't say night. I mean, it wasn't even dark when we were done.
No, it was not. It was a big, 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 big full day. Hey, what are you doing this week? I mean, can anything get more exciting? I mean, we're heading into... When is your Pride there in Toronto?
Next weekend. Not this weekend. Next weekend. The last Sunday of the month.
So we're the same.
The 28th is our Pride. The 27th is our Dyke Day, where we have a Dyke March.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've just found out the 26th is going to be the new official Trans March Day. So,
oh wow!
If we keep backing it up, we're going to be into May if we get all the letters of our community in there.
Yeah.
And have to start right after Happy New Year.
Now, after the parade, does everybody just divide up and go to bars, or are there any kind of like we have a lot of lot parties, like parties like they have a Pride thing. I think it's on Friday night. You obviously can tell I've never gone to it. Friday or Saturday, and then definitely the lesbians have parties.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday night parties. and Sunday after the parade.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a million people that come here, so it's a number of huge Toronto city blocks are closed off from Friday at about 4 in the afternoon when they start setting up beer gardens and huge staging with huge lighting and sound in the major parking lots outside. And then the streets are covered in food vendors, people selling their wares, community groups. And
selling their wares?
Selling their wares. Where?
Just throw them on stage.
The clothes off their back. But so, yeah, it's a huge, I mean, it becomes a street festival as well as a pride parade. The parade is on Yonge Street, but the gay street is Church Street. So that's kind of that's just for the parade routes for the Saturday and Sunday. But it is, I mean, it is closed. If you know the area at all, it's closed from Bloor down to Carleton, which is two subway stops. So huge. Yeah. It's quite a party, and every year I do it, I think, oh, God, I'm just going to go to a cottage this year. I just really need to, and you know what? I never do.
Yeah.
You know, I just never do, and now, I'm on stages with Proud FM and hosting things, so it's going to be a great party, and I'm doing my, I remember talking to you about this last year. I'm doing my 5K Pride and Remembrance Run, which I've raised $1,070 for already.
Wow.
Yeah, for AIDS research in an AIDS hospice, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Pride has become, it's I think my 21st Pride, and it's morphed into being this I can't believe I'm not the only lesbian in the world, too. I can't believe this corporate sponsorship, and where is my community, and where is everybody, and then at the end of the day, it's all the same people that you know and you love, and, you know, everyone comes together for a great cause.
Yeah. I have missed Pride the past 4 years.
Have you?
I leave town.
Specifically.
It's just, you know, my life is so gay, 365 days of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
That for me, when I haven't had to be here, which I haven't had to be here in the past few years, like kind of my big gay pride is Gay Idol. And I'm very excited this week. I am very appreciative to the folks at Miller Lite. They are taking me to, they're having this huge Just for Laughs comedy festival that is starting here this week in Chicago, and I'm going to see Ellen DeGeneres.
Nice, you are going.
Yes, very, very exciting. So I'll have hopefully some fun thoughts on that when on our next show. But so there's all these special things that I try to do, whether it's benefits or but I haven't gone to the parade in many, many years. To me, it's not the essence. And this year, really, I don't think anything will make me feel more proud than marching for gay marriage downtown Chicago. You know, it's like just stopping Michigan Avenue and marching and chanting to me was so fantastic and so empowering that.
And so important. Like, what the hell's going on? I don't even understand why things are a basic human right of being able to love who you want to love legally is illegal.
Well, that's because you live in Canada and you can't even.
But you feel that way, too. I'm not just thinking progressively.
I do. But, you know, I also feel like now we have a president who's not doing, you know, who's not the president of change entirely that we thought he was going to be. And, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling a little hard on Obama. You know, I feel like he needs to go in and make some bold, swift moves. And I'm not seeing a lot of those in terms of social issues, civil rights issues that I was hoping we would see, especially for our community.
Well, I have a hard time announcing because I do international news. Sometimes there's just as good gay stories coming out of the United States, like that couple in California whose partner today or yesterday had an epileptic seizure, and her partner of 4 years was not allowed in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's a woman.
But that doesn't need to be a news story because, Deb, that's an everyday occurrence in the United States of America.
That's what I'm saying. So when I say things like that, I think, oh, that may be geographically specific. It's still sad. But I have a hard time celebrating. And yet one more state thinks that it's acceptable to tolerate same-sex marriage. I have a hard time celebrating that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I still feel like that if this is our Pride Month, we have such a long way to go. And I really, even though I know Obama was not going to be for gay marriage, I really thought he was going to do something for gays in the military. I really thought that was going to happen. And I really just think, along with other things, with energy and you know, pollution and global warming, that he would have done more swift moves for that. And even healthcare, you know, there are still, I mean, there's just not any momentum behind the healthcare plan. And you kind of do look to these early months to say, we were supposed to pull out of the war. We were supposed to have, you know, an aggressive plan for healthcare for every American. And, you know, I just don't want to think that he's making campaign promises again. Yet another guy. He's charismatic as hell. And, you know, is he as bad? No. But is my life changing?
Right.
And that's,
I
think, the bottom line.
Well, you guys have, I don't know how old the U.S. of A. is, but I'll tell you, that's a long, steep tradition of bigotry and homophobia and religiously led, in some cases, you know, political moves. And I think to undo that, to topple that, and to build a different foundation of people accepting other people takes time. And I'm not saying that it's happening fast enough, because it obviously isn't. But that's a lot of old white men to change minds and to try to help to educate.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be just his decision. I mean, in the end, ultimately, I guess it can be.
Yep.
But wouldn't you rather kind of educate and get people allied as opposed to bullied? I think that time, how long has he been in now? It was very cold when he got in.
He just was inaugurated in January.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure
5 months.
I'm sure I could quote somebody really, you know, prolifically right now, but I think through great change comes, I think you have to build a good foundation to build a good strong house on it. And maybe he's not making the strides he should, and I'm speaking out of turn, or maybe he's putting things into place so that he can have strength in numbers. I don't know.
Yeah.
And actually have people understanding that, you know what, I was wrong, and of course this is a basic human right, and of course people should be able to marry who they want. Why am I in their bedroom? You know, my prime minister said it 40 years ago, politics has no business in the bedrooms of our citizens.
Yeah.
Pierre Trudeau, 1969. You really don't.
Hey, speaking of 40 years ago, everybody, next week, I just completed the most fascinating book called Stonewall, The Rise of a Revolution. And it is truly an amazing, amazing book, and I am going to have the author, David Carter, on the show next week, because we are coming up to the 40th anniversary of Stonewall, a time when, as Deb said, what was going on and what was being stated in Canada, here we have, you know, a war starting, or a... not a war starting, but of sorts, starting in the United States of America in Greenwich Village in New York City. And so Stonewall, the riots that sparked the gay revolution, David Carter on the show next week, as we are coming up to June 28th this year. Pride weekend, folks, is the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And why so many people celebrate Pride around that date is around the world is because of those riots and the impact of that night in history. And why is that? Why? What was the impact of that evening? What? How did the stars align? It's a fascinating, fascinating book and a great read. And I'm so excited that David's going to be on the show with me. And also, she's back as well, folks. Alexandra Billings is in Chicago, taking a hiatus from LA, and what the fuck? She is the Grand Marshal in the Gay Pride Parade. I will believe it when I see it, because she hates crowds. So imagining her smack dab in the middle of how many ever million people will be lining the streets is crazy to me. But we will ask her, because she'll be on both shows next week, and it's exciting to have Alex back. You almost could have met Alex. I don't know why that didn't happen.
It's not meant to be. I'm not meant to meet Di either, but it'll all happen one day. One day, Chicago, you have not seen the last of me, that's for sure.
We have not. And Deb, I want to say a happy, happy Pride. And
thank you. Happy Pride to you as well.
And if people are coming up to Toronto, give them the top four things to do if they're up in Toronto during Pride.
The main stage, the South Stage, the Dyke March, and the Pride Parade. The main stage, I'm going to be hosting on the Saturday. We've got 80s, I call it the Botox Rejuvenation Tour, but it's ABC and all these bands that are going to be performing, all these older people that are going to be coming that are quite formative to a lot of our communities, as well as, you know, some new people coming up through the ranks, Deborah Cox, Divine Brown, a lot of Canadian icons, and, of course, local people, too. So it's going to be a great weekend. It's, from what I'll remember of it, ideally, it's going to be great. It's a great party.
And you're working on your tan.
Yeah, baby. I got to go put some aloe.
Okay.
Or vinegar or something.
Well, have a
wonderful...
I can
feel the shivers coming now. Oh,
the shivers.
I'm so excited.
Have a wonderful Pride, Deb Pierce. It was so great to have you.
Thanks, Amy.
And everybody, if you see Amy Kelly running around town, because I think everybody now must know who she is, the new Windy City Gay Idol 2009, Amy Kelly. Amy, as well as Marla and Brad, will all be performing July 19th at the SoFo Tea Dance. So if you miss them and you want to hear the three of them perform, they should be a great addition to the lineup of the Tea Dance on July 19th. We'll bring you more information on that. Alexander Billings on the show next week, everybody. Enjoy your Pride Month. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.